is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Iraq, the tragedy of Iraq these last 2 decades. Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, is with me. And we go to Baghdad through the Washington Post headline. Iraq's violence reflects an enduring dysfunction. Supporters of prominent Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr, goes the report, clashed with Iraqi security forces and Iran-allied militias in Baghdad's fortified Green Zone and stormed the presidential palace. The sound of machine gun fire and the thud of rocket-propelled grenades rocked the heart of the city. The violence sprawled across the country, with Sadrists attacking the offices of factions linked to Iran in various cities. More than 30 people were killed. This report is a week out of date. We can imagine the violence has continued with an armed truce in some fashion for people to go about their lives, helping us understand what has happened, what is driving this, who gains. We welcome Michael Knights, the Jill and Jay Bernstein Fellow at the Washington Institute. Michael, a very good evening to you. It's surprising and it's not surprising. Muki Sadr has been with us for 2 decades now. I can recall the early days of the American intervention in Iraq's affairs. He was often seen as either a helpmate or a curse. Sometimes I remember mortars landing from his zone in Baghdad. Now his retirement prompts an attack in all directions. What is driving it? Good evening to you, Michael.
Evening, and thank you for having me on. So the new violence inside Iraq's international zone, which used to be called the Green Zone, was really prompted by an Iranian gambit intended to make Muqtada al-Sadr very angry, and it succeeded. They basically got his religious mentor, who lives in Iran and is and held by the Iranian regime, to discredit Muqtada. And this is a step that the Iranians could have taken at any point over the last 20 years, but they always kept this card. Well, they just burned the card. And as a result, Muqtada announced that he was going to resign from politics, and he basically unleashed his followers on the government center, the international zone.
Unleashed? Just a moment. Unleashed in to achieve what? This news is a week old. Has the violence led to some success for his reporters? I mean, his supporters, or was this just anarchy and rage?
It was very much like the sort of riots you get in some inner cities, because there was no real point to the violence. It didn't achieve anything. It was really just hundreds of Sadrist militiamen firing machine guns and rocket-propelled grenades, mortars, at the international zone, at the symbol of Iraq's government, for many hours. And then the next day, he demobilized them because he sensed that the international and local backlash was very negative for him. What's happened since that night is that Muqtada has kept his people out of the international zone, the government zone, and the government has begun to fortify that zone again with the large concrete T-walls that we originally brought with us when we came to Iraq, and which they had begun to clear away. Now we're waiting for the next move in Iraqi politics to find out if Muqtada will send his followers back into the international zone to prevent the parliament from meeting, or if some kind of political compromise will be worked out.
Malcolm?
Can you tell us, well, did this initial violence resonate outside of that area, I mean, near the zone, amongst the people? Did they see this as a trigger for reaction in the various cities across Iraq? And second, if you could talk about the role of Iran in both pre and post the violence.
Yeah, so I might take those in reverse order. First, Iran is a big player in the current government formation crisis in Iraq. It's been supporting Iran-backed militia groups who want to form the government without Muqtada al-Sadr. And they seem to have pushed Muqtada into making a mistake with this night of firing weapons into the international zone where all of the embassies are, where the Iraqi government is based. And now they're trying again to push forward with the formation of a government without Muqtada. And he's turned around and said, well, in which case then I just will prevent you from reaching the parliament building or from forming a new government, or I will unleash my followers again. And at the moment, what we're looking to see is whether Muqtada is offered some kind of deal to quietly come back into the government, or whether we go through this whole cycle one more time. Now, the violence was not contained to the international zone in Baghdad. Sadrist supporters all across southern Iraq, where the Shiites are prevalent, Muqtada is, of course, a Shiite leader, they burned down the offices of many of the Iran-backed militias in cities like Basra, Kut, Diwaniya, Nazariya, Amara. So it was widespread violence that night, but it calmed down very quickly the next day when Muqtada simply, as if he flicked a switch, he turned his supporters off and he sent them home.
The question about the Iraqi government, because I've lost track, Michael, forgive me. The prime minister is Mustafa al-Kadima, is that correct, right now?
Yeah, anyone can be forgiven for not tracking the ebb and flow of this government formation. We're now 9 months since the Iraqi elections. It has never taken this long to form a government in Iraq before, and there's a very good chance that this government formation will be the first time that elections fail to produce a democratically elected government, and that instead we have to do another whole set of elections again, having failed to build a government. The current Iraqi government is led by caretaker Prime Minister Mustafa al-Kadhimi, who is a very well-respected former journalist and former intelligence chief who can speak to people in the West and who can maintain speaking relations with the Iranians too. But he is only a caretaker Prime Minister since the elections 9 months ago. And the Iran-backed factions would very much like to remove him as quickly as possible.
And so what we have here is a half government and half stepping out the door. Does this describe what Iran wants? Is this the way they'd like to keep Iraq weak and supplicant?
Well, all the Iranian government factions would certainly like to keep Iraq weak and no threat to Iran. But we do detect signs of disagreement, even within the government of Iran, over whether Muqtada al-Sadr should be excluded completely from the Iraqi government, and therefore they would break the Shia house, as they call it, break up the Shia factions in Iraq, or whether Muqtada should be rolled back into a government and great efforts should be made to try and reconcile with him. So, you know, those who want to break up the Shia house and exclude Muqtada are more hardline, and those who want to bring him back into the fold are more the traditional Iranian view, which is that the Shiites must always stay together in Iraq so that they remain the majority.
Malcolm, we have a little more than a minute.
Could you talk about it, quickly about the impact in Syria? Are there implications of the violence? Does it impact the role of the militias in Syria itself?
Well, in Syria recently, we have seen an upsurge in the number of attacks on U.S. bases in both Tanf and the Deir ez-Zor area by Iran-backed militias. And we actually saw the U.S. Undertaking airstrikes in retaliation, including killing a number of Iran-backed militiamen inside Syria. But this is not really related to government formation in Iraq and these riots. It's more related to Israeli airstrikes that are undertaken in Syria, which the Iran-backed actors believe is being assisted in some way by the presence of U.S. forces. At the Tanf base, which was attacked by Iran-backed factions, the presence of U.S. forces creates a hole in the Syrian and Russian and Iranian air defenses in Syria. So they would very much like to remove that base, and they like to signal that to us every now and then.
Michael Knights is Jill and Jay Bernstein Fellow, Washington Institute, Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents. I'm John Backman.